I hope you noticed that several weeks ago, Jeff and I wore matching shirts. Now, we did not coordinate that. But today, in honor of that, we have exact opposites.
He just doesn't like Canadians, that's all.
I love Canadians, except when their team beats us. Still love them, but...
I think that's unconditional love.
You know, Pastor Jeff has completed a sermon series about getting to the heart of the matter. And one of the themes that occurred in that series was, where do we put our trust? Let's see if I can. In Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12, the Lord tells us to trust the Lord with all our heart. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son whom he delights. In May of 1995, Randy Reed, a 34-year-old construction worker, was welding on the top of a nearly completed tower outside of Chicago. According to writer Melissa Ramsdell, Reed unhooked his safety gear to reach for some pipe when a metal cage slipped and bumped the scaffolding he stood on. The scaffolding tipped and Reed lost his balance and fell 110 feet, landing face down in a pile of dirt. He just missed the rocks and all the construction debris. A fellow worker called 911. When the paramedics arrived, they found Reed conscious, moving and complaining of a sore back. Apparently, though, the fall did not cost Reed his sense of humor. As the paramedics carried him on a backboard to the ambulance, Reed had one request. Don't drop me. Doctors later said that Reed came away from the accident with only a bruised lung. The Word of God lets us know that we need to learn to wait on Him and to trust Him. I think one of the most difficult things as human beings in this present age is to relinquish control to someone else and depend totally on that person to lead and guide us. But at times, it isn't necessarily the most desirable thing to do because waiting involves trusting. I don't know about you, but I do know about me. And I know that one thing I don't pray for is patience, because I would be afraid to change my normal attitudes. But here's four reasons why we should trust Him. The first, He's conscious. This means that God is aware. The Word of God says in Matthew 6:8 that our Heavenly Father knows what things we need even before we ask Him. Now, isn't that good to have a God that is omniscient and all-knowing? I think that's the first reason we should trust him, because he already knows everything about you. Secondly, he's concerned. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast, which means to cast or throw your cares, anxieties, and worries on him, because he cares about you. Yes, he cares about you. Whatever concerns you concerns him. So whatever you're faced with, whatever problems, situations, obstacles that may seem insurmountable, throw them on him. He can handle it. Thirdly, he's consistent. This means God is faithful, and we can count on him and trust him to do exactly what he says he will do every single time. Even if others let us down or are found to be unreliable, God will never let us down. You can always rely on him. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says that God is faithful. So even when we're unfaithful to God, he remains faithful to us. And he is capable. Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that he works in us. I mean, that would suggest that nothing is too hard for God. Even if he chooses not to grant our request, he's still capable of supplying our every need. And sometimes, by not granting our requests, he is leading us in the right path, because sometimes we ask amiss. The real question is, who do you trust? I mean, we've all trusted many things. People, in our personal nature, we probably trust, most of us trust our families. We trust our friends. In our public nature, we have trusted our government, the national security, our military. What do all those kind of things have in common? Sometimes they fail our trust. We've all felt the disastrous results of failed trust within our families and our friends. Confidences are shattered. Tears are shed. Feelings are hurt. Trust is damaged. Depression and bitterness grow. We've witnessed the devastating results of failures on a national level. On 9/11, security was breached. Planes were hijacked and used like missiles. Lives were lost in the thousands, and our nation was shaken and stunned. Insecurity rose, and our fears grew. In times like these, who do you trust? Well, God wants you to trust him. John 14:1 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." But you know, trust can be difficult. If I were to ask you individually, most of you would quickly say that you trust God, but there are times when that's not so simple. See, trusting God means we believe that when we're in trial and we're involved in things we can't see and don't understand, that we still know that he's going to bring us through. Trusting God is literally against our human nature. It means we have to admit that we're not in total control. And most of us feel we're pretty self-sufficient. There's a need to trust. We have to place our trust in something or someone. We do it every day. How many of you went to the kitchen table this morning and sat on a chair? Did it let you down or did it hold you up? You trusted those legs would be strong. We trust our cars to get us to our destinations. We trust our employers to deliver our paycheck. We trust our doctors to heal our illnesses. how much more should we trust God? There's some wonderful examples in Scripture of trust. How about Moses at the Red Sea? Joseph in the Pharaoh's prison? David facing down Goliath? Jonah in the belly of the whale? And Peter and John before the Sanhedrin? God blesses those who trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. The minute I mentioned trust, that was quoted back to me this morning. But you know something? Life is sometimes beyond us. Beyond what we understand, beyond what we're capable of. And I think that's when we need to rely on Him the most. Disasters strike, tragedies happen. Life can indeed be kind of hard. And life can definitely be uncertain. And when you think about it, life is really beyond our control. In times like this, when we're going through chaos and trials and tribulations and valleys, we are generally left with some pretty raw emotions. And we ask tough questions. Sometimes the answers are just beyond us as we grapple with what life has thrown at us. But in times like that, who do we trust? Understand that life is never beyond God. Nothing, and I mean nothing, that we go through is ever beyond His reach, His power, His grasp. The truth is, we should really rely on Him in every situation. But in our humanness, those are the times that we start to challenge. We seek answers. But those are the times that we need to trust the most. And the more senseless what we're going through is, the greater our need to trust God. The Indians have a saying. They said, when the great white father leads you to it, trust him. He'll get you through it. There was a man named Famous Amos, and he had quite a cookie company. And that was his personal mantra, his saying that he lived by. When you do trust God, you commit your resources, all of them, especially you. The writer of Proverbs states it simply and clearly that God wants your full and complete trust. It said, trust God with all your heart. Hold nothing back. Surrender all to Him. When we do that, we literally usher ourselves into His presence. And His guidance will take us where we should go. Sometimes that's not where we think we should go. When you trust God in all situations, life becomes a whole lot easier. And God wants us to trust even if we don't understand, even if nothing seems to make sense, when the future seems uncertain to us. God says, follow me. And I think it's only when we completely trust God that He gives us the power of His direction and the power of His presence. God is worthy of our trust. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9, 9 and 10. Maybe we need to correct our focus a little bit. Far too often in life, we become focused on the trial, on the difficulty, and we lose focus on the real meaning we lose focus on Christ. When Peter walked on the water with Jesus, he was doing well, wasn't he? Until he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the waves. And you know, the same's true for us today. God can get us through the most impossible situations, but we have to keep our focus on Him and trust Him. How can we ever expect to find help and healing when we're focused on the difficulty and not on the deliverance? Maybe we need to check our faith. Jesus calls us to trust God. The meaning of trust by Webster's Dictionary is basic dependence on someone or something. Belief that something will happen or someone will act in a prescribed way. Wow. We have a God that keeps His promises. We know that He will act in a prescribed way. Sometimes we don't know what that way will be. One of the missions that Jesus was calling the disciples to was to trust God through any and every circumstance of life. He knew what was coming for them. They did not. He was also about to be crucified, and He knew they would be scattered. Jesus was telling them to trust, even when they didn't understand that God was still at work. Those words are true for us today, as true as they were for the disciples. I mean, most of us saw the horror and felt the terror when the Twin Towers came down. And we knew we needed to stand firm and trust that the Lord had a plan and He would get our country through that. But He also had a plan for us. You see, God alone is really the source of our strength, not the government. God alone. When we feel weak, God is our strength. When we're pressured by life, God is our relief. When we need security, God is our refuge. The full resources of God are at our disposal if we place our trust in Him. As hard as it is for us in our humanness, there is a key. There's a key to unlock a lot of the resources of God, and that key is to trust Him. I mean, if you don't trust Him, you deny yourself access to His power, His mercy, His love. When trials arise and we go through difficulty, that's the time we need to trust Him most. Because without trust in God, a lot of times there is just no comfort from the valley that we're in. There's no peace, no strength, no relief. The promises of God are a treasure to us. See, God has made a promise that He will never leave nor forsake us, especially us that seek Him. The promise that God made so long ago is still valid today because God has never broken a promise yet. He's true and He's faithful to His people. Our treasure is love from God. That was exhibited in the greatest way when Jesus Christ was hung on that cross. He gave us grace and He gave us peace. And He brought us into the presence of the God of all comfort. Our treasure is security from a God who never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and will be the same tomorrow. Our treasure is protection and provision from a God that's all powerful. Our treasure is acceptance from the God who knows everything. And our treasure, our ultimate treasure, is eternity. Eternity paid for by a Father sacrificing His only Son to buy our ticket. trust is found in the unswerving belief that the God of heaven will indeed work on our behalf to bring his perfect will for our lives into being. If you've been relying on yourself, on others, and not depending on the Lord to totally meet your needs, I mean, I encourage you today to rethink about trusting him completely. The Word of God lets us know that without faith, without trust, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So God is asking a question this morning. Do you trust me? And you have to think, what is your answer? Joy and I have had some time the last few years to really have an opportunity to trust God. We've been through some stuff. And I was relating to someone the other day. There was a kind of a rock and roll song, and I don't know much of it, but one of the lyrics in that song was, "I'm still standing." Well, I am. God's not done with me yet. He's not done with her. He's not done with Jeff. We're still standing. How'd that happen? There were times, and I know you've all probably been in those situations, there were times when you wondered, what is going on? Why am I going through this? And I came to a point where I no longer felt that way. I'm not going to worry about why I'm going through it. I was just going to trust him to get me through it. So that question this morning, who do you trust? Think about that from your heart. Who do you trust? Praise team, do you have a...
We have a song in the hymnal, and we're going to sing two verses, verses 1 and 3. And it just really reiterates what Chuck has been speaking to us about. As followers of Christ, he asks us to trust and obey. So let's sing, shall we?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, though there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Let's close our service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I think all of us probably sat here this morning thinking about those different times where we haven't chosen to trust. Maybe it's in the midst of an illness, in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a conflict in a relationship. Maybe it's just the trivial things. We get irritated too often because we don't trust you. All of us can beat ourselves up about that, Lord, but that's not what you call us to do. You call us to reflect. You call us to renew our minds. You call us to seek your face and recognize that you're faithful. And even when we lack trust, you still love us. You still accept us. You're still faithfully caring for us. And you're faithfully able to care for us in every situation of life. And so, Lord, as we go from here, I pray that you would renew our trust, that we would make a heart decision to trust in you this day, this week, to trust in you in our marriages and our parenting, to trust in you with our finances and with our work situations, to trust in you as we're driving down the road in the middle of a snowstorm, who knows? May we look to you in all of those things. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.